So you start with the pure note of a brass horn playing Telemann. And you have Miles Davis push that trumpet to the limit. And a new kind of music is born. Or take the simple idea of amplifying the pure string notes of a guitar so it can play along with louder instruments. Then let Jimi Hendrix and his speedy fingers push the knobs beyond the technical limits of a tube amp, and you get... another new sound for a new kind of music. When I was growing up, the rule was don't touch Dad's turntable playing vinyl records. But grab it and then do this when Daddy isn't looking. And another music is born. This idea of music pushing technology, pushing music, pushing technology, is the premise of a series reporter and host Ben Johnson has been doing this week on APM's Marketplace Tech called Playing with Machines. Ben, welcome.
Thank you, John.
So you start playing music, you pick up a machine. It's called an instrument, right? That's the oldest thing in the world.
Absolutely. It's something that musicians have been doing for tens of thousands of years. But what's really interesting is some musicians are starting to actually start with really sort of complicated machines in order to get into music. One of the people that we talked to, his name is John Powell. He's a film composer. He's done over 50 movies. But he sort of takes his year zero moment for his musical career and connects it to a gaming console.
If this was 1986, probably when I got out of music college, I was still working, you know, on tape machines with everything that everybody else had. And suddenly along came the Atari ST-1080, which was obviously a gaming system, but some neat guys in Germany figured out how to get some really good sequences into that hardware. That was the beginning for me of really being able to work in a fluid way. The difference between working on paper and having a computer is the speed at which you can work.
So I remember the old Fender Telecaster. He remembers the old Atari ST-1080.
Huh? Yeah, and programming music from that, which is, I think, really interesting.
And this way of dealing with music as a medium, uh-huh, not necessarily as a virtuoso experience, also informs some of the other people that you talk to who became musicians by the way they collected music.
Absolutely. One of the people we talked to was DJ Reka. She's a DJ and label owner in New York City, and she's credited with bringing Bhangra music to the U.S. This is a form of Indian folk music. She basically, in her community in Long Island, growing up, everyone had VCRs. They were taping Bhangra music. They were illegally sort of dubbing Bollywood movies. And that, for her, is how she first got introduced to some of this music herself and started to incorporate it into her music later on.
Every Indian American household had a VCR first because the movies were important, watching the Bollywood films. And in the 90s, there was a huge Indian Bollywood remix scene, taking Bollywood records without getting the original parts and putting beats on them.
A Bollywood remix scene. What sorts of machines do you use to make that happen? You start with the VCR, but...
Eventually, it came to CDs and CDRs, and she used a lot of those and, you know, was passing some of that stuff around and was using it as a DJ. And as her own DJ equipment started to evolve and she started moving from turntables to CD turntables, she started using some of these remixes.
So part of this is about mixing and using materials in ways that they've never been used before to develop new music. And part of it is also just literally pushing it beyond the limits, just taking the technical specs and throwing that out.
Totally. And you and I, you know, we both play a little bit of music. We both know the experience of playing a wrong note and actually kind of liking that wrong note.
I mostly play wrong notes.
As do I. But one of the people we talked to, her name is Meryl Garbus, and she's the lead singer behind the band Toon Yards. And she's sort of known for actually, in a way, treating herself like a machine. She records herself performing as a human and then loops those recordings and then plays along with them and layers them and things like that. But on her new album, she had a different approach, and it had to do with playing drum machines with her hands and seeing how the machine actually reacted when she kind of messed up.
In our latest album, I tried to use the drum machine so fast that sometimes it couldn't read my fingertip fast enough, and it would come out with different permutations of that rhythm. You know, instead of diddle it, diddle it, diddle it, diddle it, it comes out as diddle it, diddle it, diddle it, diddle it, diddle it, diddle it.
So that's so cool, right? She's like, she's discovering a new musical idea by making the drum machine trip over itself.
But it's a little bit like what Liszt did on the piano, what Paganini did on the violin. It's really pushing it to the limit and discovering something fundamentally new. But in this case, the virtuosity is not necessarily physical. It's psychological.
Absolutely. And one of the other people that we talked to who is really interesting is this electronic artist called Square Pusher. He's this guy. He's known for really pushing the limit in drum programming and all kinds of things like that. His latest album it's called Music for Robots. It's written for a band of three robots built by Japanese roboticists. And you got to see these things. They look like people, basically. They looks like a person sitting behind the drum set, sort of looks like a guitar player, but the guitar player has 73 fingers and it can play 100 notes within a second. So take a listen to this.
Whoa, Hendrix wishes he has 73 fingers.
Absolutely. And, it's crazy to watch. I mean, this thing is going a mile a minute, and it's really impressive. But you can sort of feel the mechanics of it, right? And it's, you know, there's a question there of whether or not it's really emotional.
Is this music, or is this a Disney stunt?
Well, it's interesting. You know, Square Pusher, he's also known as Tom Jenkinson, he said that this project for him was about trying to discover whether machines could play something that got an emotion out of a human listener. And he said to me, he was a little coy about it, but he said to me he wouldn't have put the recording out if he didn't think the recording answered that question.
Ben Johnson, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, John.
Ben Johnson is the host of the APM Marketplace Tech Program. His series this week is called Playing with Machines.